Please to see the number that's here tonight again. I'd like for you to open your Bibles up to Timothy here. 2 Timothy 2:15 and 2 Timothy 3:16. I'm going to give you a chance to find those two scriptures. We'll be using these two scriptures as the foundational passage just for our study tonight. We welcome you to the Church of Christ, and especially you who are not members of the body of Christ. Thank you for coming our way. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:15, give diligence, or do your best. The American Standard Version says here, but in the King James Version it says study. And we did a little study on this Sunday morning Bible class. The word study in that text means to do your best, of give diligence to present thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, handling aright the word of truth. That's the American Standard Version. Now we're going to flip over to chapter 3 and verse 16. Are you still with me? Please stay with me tonight. We got a long study, and I know I have a lot of stuff up here that you probably never heard of or seen. I'm sure your fine preacher knows all about it. Paul says to Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now we're going to read those two verses there. It's obvious what my lesson is all about tonight. We have the Pope of Rome, so-called Holy Father, the Vicar, versus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. All of the old prophets pointed to the Christ. John the Baptizer, when he was preaching, the Bible says, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the S-I-N, the sin of the world. Then we have Catholicism versus the New Testament of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse number 6, who also have made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit gives life. And he talks about the ministration of death written in the grave in stone. It was glorious. But the New Testament of Jesus Christ is far superior. The New Testament of Jesus Christ, Jude 3, Jude says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you, watch it, that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered, one time. 2 Peter 1:3, Jimmy Sanders says, God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Right? That's all right, isn't it? Peter said in 1 Peter 4:11, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Isaiah 8:20, the Bible says to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. Every word of God is pure. He's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add thou not to his word, lest he reprove thee and thou be found a liar. Are you listening? Don't add to God's word. Don't take what is complete. We don't need anything else. That's good, isn't it? Oh, that's good. One system of faith, the gospel. It was once delivered to the saints, Jude said. Now what we have here, we have Catholicism. Is the system of faith for the Roman Catholic Church. Catholicism consists of Judaism. Let me just explain a little bit. Have you ever noticed how they dress? All the little mitres they have on their heads. Listen to me. You see them doing the mass. They have the incense, the censers, doing all of that. That's all Old Testament stuff. Are you listening to me? They got the incense burning and all of that. Judaism, paganism, and a sprinkle of Christianity. That's what Catholicism is. Catholicism is the most diabolical religious order in the world that claim to be Christians. They are against true Christianity. Paul says to Timothy down at Ephesus, Paul said, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. And he said, now listen to what Paul said, told Timothy, charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Got it? That's Timothy. In Acts 20 and verse 28, Paul charged the elders there. Watch it. Take heed therefore to yourself and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. Now, lick your fingers and go to Acts 20 and verse 29. See, I sit up here and do all this quoting, and you all just sit up there and just do nothing but listening. Now, we need to start reading some. Is that all right? All right, Acts 20. I just quoted verse number 28. And look at verse number 29. Alright. Paul said, for he's speaking to the elders or the bishops at the church at Ephesus. Listen, he said, for I know this, that after my departure, grievous wolves shall in among you, not sparing the flock. Then he says, also. Look at that. Also. Of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. What did you say, Paul? Paul told the elders at Ephesus, some of you are going to rise up and start speaking things wrong to draw away us disciples after you. Let me pause here a moment a little bit. There was a church of Christ at Jerusalem. There was a church at Antioch. There was a church at Alexander. There was a church at Constantinople. And there was a church at Rome. Each one of those churches by that time, they had gotten so far off until they had one bishop in five churches. One bishop already wrong. When Paul told these elders at Ephesus, he said, even among yourselves, where's the authority for one bishop, not only in the local sense, but whoever heard of a bishop over pluralities of churches? See how it started messing up? And you can see the Catholicism brewing from that, kind of like a hotbed for false doctrine. That's how it all started in leadership. Had one bishop wrong. The bishops, watch it, are the elders, are the pastors of Presbyterian. They were only to have the rule in the local church. In other words, Peter says, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight of. Where? Where's the power of the eldership? In the local church, not outside. But what they did, they started out like that. Then finally, they had one main bishop. Then he got so big, they said, well, we'll just make him the bishop of this particular place. At the church of Jerusalem, bishop there. One in Antioch, one in Alexander. Y'all ever heard of Alexander? That's in North Africa. Alexander. Alexander, Egypt. On the coast there of the Mediterranean. Am I right, son? Yep. You got it? At Alexander, Egypt, they had that great library there. Then you had Constantinople, right? Constantinople. Watch. Are you listening? You're listening well here. Maybe I don't want to talk over your head, but I'm just trying to inform you. So you had one at Constantinople, and then you had one, watch it, at Rome. Five of them. And finally things got so bad, they said, we need to cut all this out. We need to have one main bishop. All right. And he's called the universal pope. The pope. You got it? In 1054, the Roman Catholic Church split. And you had the Eastern Church, got it? You know, Garland? You know, it's hard to preach around a man like Garland. He knows so much, and that's what, he catches everything, boy. Boy, I'll tell you what, he'll catch it. He's been watching me too, and I appreciate that. Are you listening to me? Now, so they split. The Roman Church, and 1054, I believe it is, at the church of Constantinople. Now, you know what Constantinople is. See, it's not Constantinople anymore. It's called Turkey or Istanbul. Well, what happened? The Arabs came in and captured it. And when they captured it, they changed the name from Constantinople to Istanbul. That's what it is now, isn't it? I want to throw this out here. I want to throw this out to you. We better be mighty careful because they're coming to America. Are you sleeping? Let me tell you something. If you think the Islamic religion mean you some good, there's something wrong with you. You better wake up. If you think Catholicism is bad, man, they'll tear everything down. Oh, that's a little excursion. Let me get back to my main lesson here. Got it? Now we got round 300. It began to really get worse. Bad and bad. Let me do this right quick before I forget it here, because I got a lot to cover, and I don't need to just do too much just talking. You have the New Testament age. You follow me? That's when it got started off. Then you have the apostate falling away. That's when the church of Christ fell away. Paul predicted it. Got it? Then you have the dark age. Hey, man. It was so bad here until they tried to reform the Catholic Church. Let me tell you something. Reformation never has worked and never will work. Martin Luther, we could go on, and John Tutt and all those guys, listen. They were coming out of darkness of denominational, the dark age. Well, anyway, that didn't work, trying to reform the Catholic Church. Then we have the period of, what is that, Garland?
Restoration.
Well, what does that mean? We're going to go restore it back to what? To New Testament Christianity. Brethren, when we get off course, listen, go back to this.
Amen.
Go back to it. Matter of fact, we don't need to ever leave it. And some of my brethren, Jimmy, are leaving it. It may be. It may be that the Church of Christ as we know it, 50 years, it may not be like that. Because I see a lot of stuff eating coming into the church. Every generation seems like every 20 years they're bringing stuff. But I'm telling you, I'm watching them. I'm watching them. And I'm going to preach. You know what? This is what I like about it, Mary. See, I get on TV, they can't stop me. Boy, they want to get me so bad. I get on TV, just like this on television. Somebody got to do it. Somebody got to stand up. Now, so what do we have here? We have the Catholic Church. St. Peter's Basilica, Vatican City. It's a city in Rome. You got it? They got their own banks. They got their own system of everything. Go on the internet and watch it. Got it? He is called the Vicar, the Holy Father. Right? Whatever he says goes. You need to listen. Now, where did you learn about the Roman Catholic Church? That's a good question, isn't it? You know, denominational neighbors, we may have some here tonight. Bless your heart, I hope you are. And I don't want to be mean and cruel and not speak the truth in love, but I love you. I really love you because I like to see you saved. But the question is, Brother McGee, it's good to see you and sister here tonight. Listen, where did you learn about the Roman Catholic Church? That's a good question. Where? You didn't learn it from this. You didn't get it from that. Wait a minute. I'm not just picking on the Catholics. Let's go on down. A, African Methodist Episcopal Church. Where did that come from? Not in the Bible. The Lutheran Church. Where did that come from? Not in the Bible. The Baptists. Not in the Bible. And you got so many of them, the First and Second Baptists, and you got the Third Baptist, you got the Primitive Baptist, and you got the Southern Baptist and Northern Baptist. Where all that stuff come from? It didn't come out of this. It didn't come out of the Bible. The Methodists, Catholics, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, Jehovah's Witness. Where did the Pentecostal church come from? Who ever heard of a Pentecostal church? You didn't learn that from the Bible. Somebody said the Christian church. You didn't learn that from the Bible. I think you're right. It's a lot up there, isn't it? It's a lot up there, you know. And if I started to attempt to preach all this tonight, they're going to leave me here by myself. So I'm like, no. Okay, now, wait a minute. We're going to go down here. I just got to run through it here. They're pretty good. In a denomination, all these churches, Jimmy, that you cannot find in the Bible, I asked your friend. Ask your mother, where did the Baptist church come from? Where do you find it in the scripture? Oh, I know you can go on the internet, yellow pages. And see what convinced me? I went to Botanica, the World Book Encyclopedia, and I taught, read about the Catholic Church in there. And an old man, he did. Now, he told me, he said, yeah, you're right about that. He said, I'll tell you what I do. I'll give you $500 back in 69. That was a lot of money. He said, if you show me your church in the Bible, the Catholic Church, I'll give you $500. I haven't found it yet, and I'm out of it. And let's do that tonight. You're in the Baptist church. You show me your church in the Bible. I guess these brothers are going to pay me. I don't know. They may pay me. I don't know. I have been to places and preach. It was so bad. They say, you need to get out of here. You're talking about to pay. We got paid for you. Get out of here. But nevertheless, that's a little excursion. But watch this. Now, listen. You find your church in there, give you that money. Now, wait a minute. That's fair enough. You can't get any fairer than that. Not in there. All this good work that they do, and the Catholics do a lot of good work. And let me tell you something. Don't you think one time they don't have any money? Oh, they got money. They got money. They got members too. It's a billion of them. Listen, are you listening? They can come in and they want to build a school. They put it up here, however how long it takes to build it. What work? Raise no funds. Well, that's getting off a little bit here. Well, where did you learn about the Roman Catholic Church? It is not apostolic. That means it didn't come from the teaching of the apostle doctrine. Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread and prayer. It didn't come from that. All right? But it's apostate. It started off right. But as you go on down, it got worse and worse. Well, let's do this here. Hierarchy. What do you mean? Governed by ecclesiastical rule. Number one, you got the Pope, the so-called Holy Father. He's the bishop of the Vatican. He's over all of the parishes and dioceses. Right? Then you have the College of Cardinals. What is that? That's when the Pope dies, these men go in this particular place and they select a bishop of Rome, the Pope. You got it? They got the smoke had to come out, either black or white. See? And you know, you can tell by the color if they got one or not. See? Back years ago, they didn't have communication, and that's what they did. Smoke signals. You understand what I mean? Smoke signals. They got it. Y'all know what smoke signals are? I got to throw a point here. I hadn't seen it since I've been here. That's why I hadn't mentioned it. It used to be when I first came into Church of Christ, a lot of men would sit outside and send up smoke signals, smoking cigarettes. Yeah, they were doing it, boy. And I saw them. I said, boy, I'd better not catch you smoking here. Oh, they sent up smoke signals. Talking about they don't have any money to educate the kids and they're watching the education going up in there. Hey, man. Well, let's go a little further here. Hierarchy, right? The cardinals, right? Then under the cardinals, watch it, you got the archbishops. All of them are bishops. Now, and then archbishops over the bishop. Here you got diocesan bishop. Got it? And you got the bishops in a diocesan, in a diocese. But these guys here are officially like in St. Louis. St. Louis is a big diocese. Big diocese. And there's an archbishop over there. See? Are you listening to me? And then under the archbishop, you got the priest. Now under the priest, you got brothers and then you got nuns. And there's a thing going around in the Catholic Church. The women are saying, we want to become priests. And they talked to me. I said, tell you what, you want to become a priest? I said, listen, I can make you a priest overnight. You can? I said, all you got to do is obey the gospel, and you become a priest in the kingdom of God, dear son. How many priests do we have, women priests do we have in the Church of Christ? All of them. Every woman in the Church of Christ are a member of the priesthood. You are a priest. You can offer up your own sacrifice. You don't need somebody praying for you. You're a priest yourself. You can pray for yourself. Repent and pray God. 1 Peter, 2:5? Priest. Amen. So if we got anybody here that's not a member of the Church of Christ and you want to become a priest in the kingdom of God, your son, faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ, and the Lord will make you a priest. And you know who your high priest would be? It won't be some knucklehead man. It would be Jesus Christ. Oh, that's good, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's pretty good? Amen. Amen. Now listen, the Bible tells us, lick your fingers here, we got to do this. Bishop must be married. I'm dealing with some stuff here now. Watch this here. Look at 1 Timothy 3. Everybody turn to 1 Timothy 3, 1 and 2. Let's look at it quickly. 1 Timothy 3. Now, Brother Garland, I was in Ohio preaching in a meeting, and a lot of my brethren had this Catholic in a corner, and they were jumping on him, whooping up on him. And I saw they didn't know what they were doing. Looking at about 20 of them on one little old man over there, about 20 years old, and he wasn't big at all, and they had him feeling bad. I told him, I said, I tell you what y'all do. You leave this boy alone, and after the meeting is over every night, I'll have a Bible class with you and your girlfriend one-on-one. Don't pay no attention to those boys over there because they don't know what they're doing. Members of the Church of Christ. They didn't know. One of them was a preacher. No, they didn't know. So, I don't know, you bring your Catholic Bible with you. We're going to have a Bible class. Can I bring it with you? See, I knew what I was doing. And this is where I got him. 1 Timothy 3, 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire to offer a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. I said, what does it say in your Bible? He read the same thing. He said, you mean to tell me a bishop's supposed to be married? Yeah. And it should have children. I said, now he may have children, but he's not married. Did y'all get that? Now watch this. Why is it that you find these little, under the convents, in the basement, they found little graves of a baby bone down there. But the nuns don't get married. And the priests don't get married. There was some hanky-panky going on somewhere. And they holler about abortion. Who got rid of those babies? See, I know what I'm talking about because I was in that junk for 16 years. Listen to me. But when I saw that, when he read that, he said, tell me some more. All right, we're going to go a little further than that now. Pretty good? Now, stay with me. Imprimatur. You ever heard of that? This is official license to print or publish books. And you cannot, in the Roman Catholic Church, print books without license. And it's usually a bishop that give you authority to print. You couldn't do that in the Catholic Church. Oh, no. Sometimes get to a Catholic book and look in the beginning of it, and look for this word here, I-M-P-R-I-M-A-T-U-R, imprimatur. Got it? All right. Now, they got another doctrine called purgatory, right? A temporary place of punishment. A place of purging a soul from sins, temporary place of punishment. That's not in the Bible. I used to believe there was a purgatory. They said there's a venial sin and a mortal sin. God won't send you to hell for a venial sin, but he'll send you to hell for a mortal sin. So if you commit a venial sin, what he would do is you go to purgatory when you die, and they can give indulgence. And you ever see these candles that they do in the Catholic Church and drop that money in there? See how they make that money? Giving indulgence. Isn't that ignorant stuff? Now, wait a minute. It's 1 billion of them. All right. Seven sacraments. They say these seven sacraments are ordered by God to give grace. They got baptism, reconciliation, also called penance or confession. All right? They have Holy Eucharist, called the Holy Communion. You got it? They have confirmation done by the bishop. You know, when bishop lay hands on you and so forth, they still do that. I was confirmed by a bishop. And I'm just falling for all that stuff. Just ignorant. Ignorant! Thought I was somebody. A black Roman Catholic. Ignorant. Ignorant. Holy orders. Ordaining men or the man for priests. No women. Anointing of the sick. Also called the sacrament of the dead, the last rites. You got it? Watch this. They teach total hereditary depravity. In other words, they teach that babies are born in sin. That's what they teach. Lick your fingers quickly. We're going to do it like this tonight. 1 John 3:4. Let's look at it. Look at it. 1 John 3:4. Now, brethren, sometimes we think that John Calvinist, of course, this is Calvin, Calvinistic doctrine, but the Catholics would believe that long before John Calvin was even born. That babies are born in sin. How many of you believe that? A lot of times members of the Church of Christ think that babies are born in sin. We talked to a guy the other day, born with a sinful nature. Well, whoop-a-doo. Where did he get that from? He didn't get that out of the Bible. Our spirits came from God. If we came with a depraved spirit, where do we get it from? It came from God. That's not true. 1 John 3:4 says, hey man, this is good, isn't it, boy? Boy, this is good. 1 John 3:4. Whosoever transgresseth the law for sin is a transgression of the law. Now wait a minute. What is sin? We know it means misdemeanor. But it's a transgression of the law. Do we have any little bitty babies in here? Is it just one? Not even one. Well, little bitty babies. See right here? Let me move this out of the way here. See here? These people believe that this baby got sin. Original sin. So therefore, and the Catholics believe that baptism is for the remission of sin. They believe that. So that's what they're doing, so-called baptizing the baby. That sounds right, doesn't it? That's wrong. That's wrong. Baptism has always been for people who have heard and believed. Can the baby believe? It's for people who have repented of sin. Please tell me what sin this baby needs to repent of. Somebody say, well, he's born in sin. Well, where did you read that? Somebody said, babies are born in sin. Well, lick your fingers and go to Psalm 51:5. I believe that's it. Let's turn over there right quick. I may have to go over time tonight, but I hate to. Psalm 51:5. And I'll tell you what, I had some barbecue and some corn and some stuff that was so good tonight, boy. I feel like preaching 5 hours tonight. Boy, I said, man, this woman right here can cook, boy. And I was so mad I couldn't eat much of it, man. But it was good. Well, that's a little excursion. Let's go to Psalm. That's pretty good. Psalm 51:5. Let's look at it there. All right? Let's look at Psalm 51:5. Pretty good? All right. Let's look at it right quick. Look at this here. They go. This is where they go. And watch this now, brethren. These new translations, you have to watch them. Especially NIV. I didn't bring it with me. But the NIV said we were born in sin. Born a sinner. Wrong. Look at this. Yeah, I got it over here. Look at this. It said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now watch this, brother. Look at this. I hope you can see this over here. Let me turn this around. Look at this here. Born into a world of sin, but not a sinner. Wait a minute. When I was born into a world of sin. But I wasn't a sinner until I sinned. All right? Here's another one. Born in a language, but I wasn't speaking. Oh, boy. All of you all Americans, you were born in an English-speaking nation, but you wasn't speaking the language. You had to learn it. You're born in a world of sin, but you're not a sinner. You're born in a world where they speak, in America, where they speak English, but you're not speaking it. You have to learn how to speak it. Now, if you can't clap on that or pat on that, there's something wrong with you. There's got to be something wrong. Do you understand that? What should you do? Born no sinner? All right. Look at that. That's good, isn't it? Well, I'm spending a lot of time on that. You already know that. I'm going to leave that alone. Let's go a little further here now. There's other scriptures we can use. So, they should all baptize for the remission of sin. That's not right. All right. Now, they have a thing called priests forgive sin. Now, let me move this out of the way here. Here's what you call a confessional, where the man goes into where the priest is. Here's the words they use. They say, "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 weeks since my last confession. And you tell him what you did wrong." And he said, "For what I'm going to do, I'm going to want you to say 10 Our Fathers and 10 Hail Marys." That's what they tell you to do, right? Where they come from? Here's where it came from. In John chapter 20 and verse number 21, let's turn over there. Dolly, you know where I'm going, don't you? Well, certainly you do. John 20, let's do it quickly. John 20. John 20, 21. Look at this. And John 20:21. Then said Jesus unto them again, "Peace be unto you. My Father, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Did it take place there? I believe it took place on Pentecost. Then he says, "Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted of them. And whosoever sin ye shall retain, they are retained of them." Well, what is he talking about? Actually, that is the Great Commission in John's record. Boy, this is good, isn't it? Jesus told the apostles, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Matthew said, "Go teach them and baptize them." Now watch this. On the day of Pentecost, watch this here. Acts 2:38, told them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin." So what John 20:21-23 is talking about, the apostles is going to give them the word of God that tells them how to have forgiveness of sin. Why? Because nobody else received that but the apostles. Boy, that's good there, boy. You got it? No priest can forgive no sin. They can't do that. All right. What else we got here? Born in sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. No. Pray to Mary. What? Here's what to say. You pray to Mary. Listen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. That is the Hail Mary. You got it? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Turn to 1 Timothy 5:2. Let's turn there. Come on, y'all loosen up now. Loosen up. We're just getting started. Amen. We just learning experience. Look at it. Come on now. Look at it. Look at 1 Timothy 5:2. Now remember, the Catholic says we pray to Mary, say, "Hail Mary, full of grace, The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. That sounds good. It's not true. 1 Timothy 5:2. Oh boy, Garland. Oh, that's good. Jimmy, you got it, Jimmy. Jimmy, you got it. I want you to read it loudly. Read it. No, oh, 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 oh. 1 Timothy 5:2. Is that right or 2:5? No, let me turn it over. Yeah, that may be wrong then. 2:5, it must be 2:5. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's backwards there. 1 Timothy 2:5. Got it, Jimmy? Read it. Hold it. What you say, Jimmy? One! Where's my crayon at, Garvin? All right, we got to find it here. If I can make it where it is. There's one God, read it, one mediator between God and man, now Mary. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. It's not Mary. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Well, they say that Peter built the church. Because Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. They said Peter is a rock, but I know it's a Greek word there. Petros and Petros and all of this. And you hee-haw and all on this. But you go to Isaiah 28:16. Watch this here. If you don't know a Greek letter from a chicken track, you can know who the rock is. And Isaiah 28:16 is talking about Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. That's pretty good. The church wasn't built on Peter. It was built on the confession that Peter made that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Good? Now, the Bible says in Hebrews 8:2, the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord shall pitch and not man. Was Peter man? Yes, he was. But Jesus pitched this one. That all right? Deity. Well, pretty good so far. Well, transubstantiation. Brother Shannon, what is all of this? You got to, this is the gospel meat. You need to know this. What do you mean? They say, watch it, that John 6:47-53, you got to eat the flesh and drink his blood. You won't have no life in you. But he wasn't talking about that. That is, what do you call that? A metaphor? Jesus said, I am the door. You think he's a literal door? When Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink the blood, he wasn't talking about literally eating the flesh of his and drinking his blood. If that be true, then we are nothing but a bunch of cannibals. Anybody cannibal in here? No way. All right. That's enough there. Let's go on down. That's pretty good. Got a lot done, man. Now we're going to come back over here. Pretty good. Here we're going to start here. Do you believe that the Holy Scriptures, watch it, is from our God? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Watch this now. Paul says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. Do you believe that the Holy Scriptures is all sufficient? Now, I ain't got to stop now. See, because you'd be surprised that the people in America don't believe that. And a lot of members of the Church of Christ, they don't believe that. Denominational people, they say they believe that. They don't believe that. The Scriptures, it is all sufficient. Watch it. It is from our God. That's revelation. Watch this. It is a book that is R-I-G-H-T. It's a book that is right. Oh, boy, boy. I tell you what, man. That lady cooking that food today got me ramming it tonight, boy. Man, I'll tell you what. Do you know what this is? This is a yardstick. What do you mean? 3 feet in a yardstick. Right? 36 inches. Right? Now wait a minute. Hold on. Let me wake him up. You need to hear this. Do you know what a yard of pork is? 3 feet. I got him. He got that boy. He won't forget that. Watch this here. Do you believe this is standard? Look here. From point B to point A, how many inches? You can guess all day long. If you want to be right, you use this. You got it? Because it's the standard. Well, when it comes to word spelling, where do you go? You go to the dictionary, right? Come on, say amen. Bow your head. Don't go to sleep on me. Right? Amen. Look here. I was in the class one time, Garland, and I said to this smart girl, real smart, had been to college, had her brains expanded. She was smart, she thought. So I said, you know that little old insect that flies around, a gnat? I said, spell it. She said, N-A-T. And I said, really? So I got, so we're gonna use the Bible and we're gonna use the dictionary. I said, we can find it in the Bible. She said, no, you can't find it. I turned to Matthew 23 and Jesus talked about gaping at a camel and swallowing a gnat. G-N-A-T. Right? Now wait a minute. How do you, I do it all the time. How do you know how to spell a word? You just don't go around making up words. It's a standard. Do you believe the Bible is God's standard of authority in religion for all times? Do you believe that? Now, if you believe that, we can go fine. If you believe that, after this teaching tonight, you ought to be ready to obey the gospel. Pretty good? Now, so in the book that is right, do you believe that the Holy Scriptures is for our good? Look at this. And is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine means teaching. Watch this here. It is the rule. What the Bible, listen, is revelation, but also it's the rule. It's the rule. You want to settle disputes in religion? You need to go to the rule. This is a ruler. This is it. This is what you go by. Well, I think, I'm just saying, you can be close, but you can be right. All right? Watch this here. Watch it. And it tells me what is right. Look at this. It is a book that is right. And it tells me what is right. Man, isn't that powerful? All right. Proper for doctrine. Do you believe that the Holy Scriptures is for our guide? For reproof. What do you mean? For rebuke. What do you mean? And it tells me when I am not right. Boy, you can take that to the bank. All right? Right? Pretty good, isn't it? For correction. It restores. It shows me how to get right. Boy, y'all are listening to that. That's the Bible I'm talking about. Now, see, listen, all you got to do to refute any false doctrine, just know this. Learn this. And anything false comes up, you got it. Let me do it like this. You know they make money in America. I think is it the FBI, not the FBI? What do you call them that makes the currency? You know you got plenty of it. What'd you say? Church Department. But they teach men and women how to detect false or counterfeit money. They never show them any counterfeit money when they're training them to detect counterfeit money. They don't show them counterfeit money. All they teach them is real money. They teach them the real money. Anything don't match up to the real money, they know it's false. Somebody say amen. Got it? Now, what we need to do and what Brother Garland Robinson is trying to do is trying to teach you to learn this. And when you learn this, any false teaching comes up, you say, that's wrong. And you don't have to back up either. You don't have to back up. But when you don't know this, anybody can trick you. Hey, boy, let me stop you a moment here. Sit down. You know, sometimes people in the north, and no reflection on people from the north, they're all right. Two guys back in 1929 came to a little town in Mississippi, and they were driving a 1929 Packer. Anybody here old enough to remember 29 Packer? Oh, you're not that old. I think your mama probably remember. She's 90 years old. But anyway, these guys jumped out with the big hats on and everything, and they walked into this old country store, and they said, listen here, you boys down here in Mississippi, we got some money that you folks down here never saw. We got some of it. They said, what you got? We got a $45 bill. The guy said, what? $45 bill? He threw a $45 bill on the counter. He said, now change that. His old country guy reached under and pulled that cigar box out and gave him three $15 bills. You see what I'm talking about? Brother, let me tell you something. You need to be ready for false teaching. That's good, darling. Be ready for false teaching. But you got to know the real thing. These guys had enough sense to know it wasn't no such thing as a $45 bill, but they had something for them. Boy, this is good. I remember one time I was in North Carolina doing a tent meeting, and a Pentecostal guy came over. Y'all, a lot of people getting saved. And there's a miracle going on over here. He said, boy, you should have been out at our place. There were some miracles going on. Miracles was taking place. I said, oh, yeah, do you believe in the miracle? I said, yeah, yeah. I just went along with him. He said, what do you mean? I said, guess what? Man, I'm from Memphis, and I flew up here. He said, what flight did you take? I said, I flew like this. Put it back on him, Jimmy. Put it back on him. He said, you didn't do that. And I said, you didn't either. Amen. Brother, you got to be ready for this stuff. This is serious business. Amen. Now, let's go to here. In the story, it showed me how to get right. For instruction in righteousness. What do you mean? To be righteous. Watch it. And it helps me to stay. Look at this. S-T-A-Y. Stay. Stay. Stay right. Wait a minute. You want to stay right? Stay right. You ever travel? Use a map, never been to a place before? You want to stay right? Just stay with the map. Here's a map to heaven. You want to stay right? Just stay right there. Don't get off of it. You don't have to get out and pray all night. Somebody beat you in the back. Just stick with the map. Pretty good. I need to quit, Garland. Look here. Jesus, our high priest, has all power. Matthew 28, verse 18. He's got it all. If he's got it all, there's no room for him. All right? Listen to this. Christians are a kingdom of priests. Revelation 1, 6. 1 Peter 2, 5, and 9. Right? I want everybody to listen to this. We are not Jews. We are not Catholics. We are not Protestants. We are Christians in the Church of Christ. Amen. I'm not a Protestant. I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Christian in the Church of Christ. That's it. That's not almost it. as N.B. Hardeman say, that ain't almost it, that's it. Amen. Pretty good? Now, there's a way for alien sinners, what do you mean, outside of Christ, to come in. What do they got to hear? They got to hear, watch it, about this system of faith for the church of our Lord. Right? Let me throw this in as well. The Catholics teach, listen to me, that tradition in the Catholic Church is equal to the Bible. I don't believe that. I do not believe that. They say the church is right and the Bible is secondary. I know what I'm talking about. Do you know what got me out of the Catholic Church? This right here, when a guy convinced me that the Bible is God's standard of authority, it is right, it's always right, and anything against that, you don't need it. That's why I'm out of the Catholic Church. Hustle out of it. Got out. Out. And if you're in a church not in the Bible, you're just wasting your time. Oh, I'm preaching now. Brother, I'm preaching now. And if you knew like I knew, you're in a church not in the Bible, let me shake your hand. If you're in a church not in the Bible, you're just giving your mind to a church. Because it's not doing you any good. When I left the Catholic Church, I asked him, I said, listen, I found out the Catholic Church wasn't right. What about those 16 years of money that I put in there and y'all won't give me none of it back? Where's my money? It's fraudulent. An alien sinner must hear how Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, purchased O-N-E, one church for all people. Hear and believe his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the grave. You believe that? And his ascension to heaven. Do you believe he's the king in the kingdom? You think you believe he's the lawgiver? You believe he's the savior of the body? What do you mean? What is he going to save? He's going to save the body. Ephesians 5:23-25. You must hear and believe this gospel. Are you willing to repent? That's hard thing. What do you mean hard? I don't know if it's Janice or Janet. I'm going to get the name right before I leave here. Repent. What do you mean repent? You in something that's not in the scripture and following something not in the scripture? You want to come out of that. What'd you say? It's hurt. I know it's hard. You got to come out of it. You can't be saved in it. You can jump and get mad, and when you get through with it, you ain't doing any good. We got some people back at home, Jimmy. They're so upset that Donald Trump won the presidency. And they say, he ain't none of my president. I said, you know what you remind me of? You remind me of a stupid man. The time has changed. It done went up an hour and you still on the old time. You gonna lose your job, boy. When the time changed, you got to accept it. You may not like Donald Trump. He is the president of the United States of America. Get over it and pray for him. The Bible did not say protest. It says pray for him. That's a little excursion, but I made all that to this. You got to repent. You're in that church, not in the Bible. You're going to come out. You're in some kind of religious order that's not. If you're in the Roman Catholic Church, you better come out of it. What? Come out of it. Don't mind you going back there one more time and tell them you're not coming back no more. Tell them. All right. Would you confess with your mouth your faith in Jesus? I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, are you willing to be baptized in water for the remission of sin? And the Lord will add you to the New Testament church. You become a priest in the kingdom of God's dear Son. The Bible says in Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Ain't no forgiveness of sin over here at all. None. That's enough. Song leader, where are you? Come on up here, son. Wait a minute. Don't grab that song book yet. I'm not finished. I tricked them, boy. Oh, no. Listen, it may be somebody here tonight. Now, let me tell you something. I love you. Somebody here needs to obey the gospel of Christ. You've been putting it off and putting it off. Now, this is pretty rough, raw preaching. Kind of rough and raw. But I believe it'll do some good. Now, you really can't be mad at John Shannon. You can't be mad at him because I'm telling you the truth. And you know it. But it's something out there that's holding you out there, and you won't give it up. You're going to have to get up if you want to be saved. What do you mean? If you want remission of sins. And I've been preaching hard this week here. We had two to respond last night. I believe we have some more here. We got some boys and girls here that never obeyed the gospel. We got some men and women here who are not New Testament Christians. You need to become a member of the church tonight. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism into Christ. The Lord adds you to the church. Now, when you get in the church of Christ, don't watch the brethren. Watch the Bible. The brethren will carry you to hell. Read the Bible and practice what it teach. And you leave here and go to heaven. That's what you want, isn't it? Are you here tonight? The Spirit and the bride says come. And whosoever will, let him come.